All right, go ahead and get your Bibles out this morning if you would, and please stand. I want you to stand and take your Bible and turn to the book of Job. Job chapter 26, and I want to call your attention to verse number 4. Job chapter 26 and verse number 4. Job chapter 26 and verse number 4, the Bible says, "To whom hast thou uttered words, and whose spirit came from thee?" The title of my message this morning is, "Who Said That?" As we get into the passage, we're going to discover maybe some terrifying answers to who said that. And I pray that you'll stay with me today and be in a heart of prayer, attitude of prayer. And this is what I'm asking about this message today. I want you to do what I've already done with it. I'm not thinking about my wife. I'm not thinking about somebody else down the road or my neighbor. I'm thinking about Dennis Knowles and how this applies to me. And I just want you to think about how it applies to you. And I guarantee you, if we all would just focus on ourselves this morning, then everybody will get right with the Lord. Amen. And that's what we want in all of this. So let's bow our head and close our eyes. Brother Tyler Childress, please pray for the message, and then we'll continue.
Father, thank you once again for the opportunity to be here.
Please.
God, I pray you just help us to do something with it, Lord. We take it serious, Lord, and you receive all the honor and glory from everything that comes out of the service. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Now, as most of you know, we are studying verse by verse through the book of Job on Sunday nights. And next Sunday night, we are scheduled to cover this chapter that contains this verse. But I decided to go ahead and preach from it this morning because I think it's very important just to take time on this one verse and get what we can glean out of it. Now, the context of the passage is that Job is given a rebuttal to the false assumptions and accusations of his most supportive friend, Bildad. Some of you that are familiar with the book of Job, you know that he was not at all his most supportive friend. I say that tongue in cheek. But Job's rebuttal comes in the form of two questions. Now stay with me. He basically says this. He says, "Who do you think you are talking to?" And then the next thing is, "What spirit is it that is doing the talking? Who do you think you're talking to like that, Bildad? And what spirit is it that you think is doing this talking that you're doing to me?" I'm reminded of something that the late Bear Bryant said one time. Paul Bear Bryant, he was the head coach of the University of Alabama for 25 years. Now, you Tennessee folks, just stay with the illustration. It'll be all right. And he was a successful coach. He won 13 Southeastern Conference championships, and he won 6 national championships. You know what Paul Bryant said one time about passing the ball? Obviously, he did not like passing the football. He was more into a running offense at that time. He said this. He said, "I don't like to throw the ball on offense, and this is why." He said that any time you throw the ball, there's only one of three things that can happen, and two of them are bad. That's what he said. He said, any time a fella throws the ball, either he's going to throw an incomplete pass, an interception, or there's a completion. He said, but 2 out of 3 times he throws the ball, there's a chance 2 out of 3 times that something bad could happen. Well, every time you and I open our mouth, there is 1 of 3 spirits speaking at that time, and 2 of them's bad. We have focused much on the tongue since I've been here at Holy Hills, often. Often not because of this particular church, but because the whole body of Christ needs to be aware of what the Bible says about our mouth and how we use it. And I want you to again remember that I have reminded you on several occasions that our tongue is just a reflection of our heart. Luke 6:45 puts it real plain and straight. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Nothing comes out of my mouth that doesn't first come from my heart. You would agree with that. I hope, hopefully you would, because the Bible says it. So this morning, what I want us to do is listen. Listen, I want us to examine ourselves very carefully. Not anyone else who is here or absent. And the truth that I'm about to expound upon for the next few minutes should be very, listen, it should be very alarming to all of us sitting in this sanctuary this morning. The last thing that I would ever want is for the devil to use me as a mouthpiece. But he can. And he has. I said the last thing in the world I'd ever want is for the devil to use my mouth as a mouthpiece, as a conduit to get his vicious venom out. But he can, Brother Sonny, and he has. And that ought to be alarming to all of us. It ought to bother us. Do you know what the devil will use you here? You saved folks. I'm not preaching this to lost people. I'm preaching this to saved people. You know what the devil will do? He'll use you and me to painfully hurt somebody with our tongue. He'll use you. He'll speak right through you to make hateful remarks, insults, criticism, complaining, gossiping, cursing, mocking, discouraging remarks. You know, that's just as bad as mocking somebody. I'd rather you mock me and make fun of me than discourage me. I'm already battling that sometimes. But the devil will use your mouth to get at somebody. Excuse me. Have you ever just sat back after you have foolishly spoken and said to yourself, why did I say that? Anybody ever done that? Well, maybe the better question would be, who said that? You see, anytime I speak or you speak, there's one or three spirits being used to speak through me or you. There's a hellish spirit. There's a human spirit. And then there's the Holy Spirit. And two of those ain't too good. Go over them very quickly. Get to the conclusion of this thing. But I'm asking you to say, ask yourself, who said that? Who is using me? Is it possible that the devil has or is even now using me? And using my mouth to get his vicious attacks out against people, against God's children, against your own spouse, or people you love very much. He can. First of all, let's look at the hellish spirit. And you know what I mean by that? That's an unclean spirit. That could be Satan. That could be the devil or a devil. And he's, listen, first of all, we're in the book of Job. He certainly spoke through Job's wife. In Job chapter 1, verse number 11, notice what the devil tells the Lord when he's up in his presence in heaven. He said, put forth thine hand now, touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. He told the Lord, he said, you just take it away, buddy. You touch him. He said, he'll curse you to your face. And after he's done it, and Job didn't do it, guess what the devil did? Excuse me. Verse chapter 2, verse number 9. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. So when the devil was proven wrong, he said, I'm going down there on the earth, and the thing that I stood in God's face and said that he would do, I can't get him to do, but I'll work through his wife to get him to do it. You know, I try not to give Mrs. Job a hard time. Because that was her children that she lost. That was her husband she was watching suffering and going through a bad time. She was experiencing that pain and suffering just like Job was. Amen? But listen, don't forget the lesson in this scripture here. Everybody look up here at me. Don't forget the lesson. In times of great stress and pressure, under the emotion of the moment, the devil will get a hold of your tongue and use you against your husband. Use you against your wife. Use you against your church family. Use you against your preacher. Use you against your Sunday school teacher. He'll do it. He's just waiting for the perfect time to do it, just like Job, the devil did here with Job's wife. How many of you believe that? How many of you can testify and say, Brother Dennis, there have been times and moments in my life where the stress was on, the pressure was on, things were going on, and under that moment, I really do believe the devil got a hold of me and I said some things I'm very sorry that I said. Well, I can raise my hand. I can raise my hand. You know, he'll do it. Look in the book of Matthew. We'll look at just a few verses here this morning. Look in the book of Matthew. Now, this is one of the best illustrations to show you how the devil will speak through a man. Obviously, if some of you have read this story before, you know where we're going. We're going to look at Peter. Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16, verse number 21. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 21. The Bible says that from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Notice this. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. He's telling him, you're not going to go to the cross. None of this stuff's going to happen. And did the Lord look at him and say, Well, Peter, you just don't understand, buddy. Calm down. Let me talk to you. That's not what he said. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Do you know what he did? He looked at him and he called Peter Satan because the devil, the devil, had Peter's tongue at that moment. Speaking out against Christ, trying to keep him from the cross. And if there's any doubt in that, do you remember when Jesus Christ is in the wilderness and the devil comes at him with three different temptations? When it's just not the devil speaking through somebody, just the devil. He said the very same thing to the devil in the wilderness. Luke 4:8. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. The same thing he said to Peter, he said straight to the devil, Get thee behind me. The devil most certainly can speak through a Christian which has allowed him access to an open door. Listen, there are some open doors that you and I have to be warned about, so I'm just going to warn you. One of them is alcohol. You can say some very vile, wicked things under the influence of alcohol or drugs. How many of you can say amen to that? My daddy says some things under the influence of alcohol, being raised in a drunkard's home like that, that I still remember to this day, and some of it's been 40 years ago. 40 years ago. I'm not bitter. I'm not upset. I love my daddy. Had a good relationship with him when he died. All that. I love him. I'm just telling you that getting drunk and running your mouth. And this is a problem. When you get drunk and run your mouth, you get up the next day, you think everything's fine because you don't even remember what you said. But your youngins and your wife remember everything you said. I apologize for my voice today. Probably somebody not want me to preach this. You reckon? Alcohol and drugs will make you... That, you know what? When you get influenced by alcohol and drugs, the devil can take your mouth and do whatever he wants to with it. When you have unrepented of, unconfessed sin, that opened up a door. If you have an angry spirit, Some people just have an angry spirit. And if you already are predisposed and you have a, maybe you're sitting here today and you just say, Brother Dennis, I have an angry spirit. It's just, I just have anger. I'm battling all the time. I guarantee you, you are a prime candidate for the devil to take your mouth and hurt those that you love the most with it. He'll do it. Now, I'm warning you of it. You get this stuff in your heart. You open the door with pornography and perversion. You get a perverted heart, and then you'll get perverted talk. You understand that? We get perverted talk because we're fooling with stuff that we ought not be fooling with. Listen, men, you cannot fool with that stuff and it not do something in your mind. You have to be on guard. The devil will speak to you to get your wife. Get at your wife. Get at your husband. Mess up a relationship with your child or another Christian to cause divisions and fractures and friendships. And like I said, he's spoken through me before. I'm ashamed to say it. I don't like to tell you that. But listen, if he can speak through Peter, he can speak through you. Who said it? What spirit was it? Well, it could have been a hellish spirit. Number two, it could have been a human spirit. Look over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 11. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse number 11, Paul says this. He says, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? So a man has a spirit. You know that you are made up of a body, a soul, and a spirit. Everybody in here knows that. I hope you know that. Your body, soul, and spirit. And the human spirit, I reckon in one way you can look at it, you can be controlled by God, or you can be controlled by your flesh, but your human spirit certainly is connected to your flesh. And listen, this is why your flesh is such a big deal. Two things. Number one, I don't need the devil to make me sin if I have my fallen, sinful flesh. Amen? The flesh never gets weaker. The inward man is supposed to be getting stronger, but the flesh never gets weaker. How about that? That flesh is always strong. That flesh is always there. And even if the devil wasn't within a million miles of me, I can still run my mouth and say wicked things because it's in my flesh. But number two, this is why your flesh is so bad. It's not just that I don't need the devil. I just have my flesh to do all that stuff. But do you realize that anytime the devil works through you, he works through the five senses of your flesh, Brother Chase. He's going to work through you through what you hear, what you see, what you taste, what you touch, all that stuff. He works through that. He works through your senses. And he'll use your mouth. And sometimes it doesn't have to be a devil. You know, the old man, the old flesh can lie. We read that the other night in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 9. It says, lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deeds. That's what the old man does. He wants to run his mouth and tell things that aren't true. And listen, if we're living according to the lust of the flesh, then our flesh is going to be responsible for much of our conversation. Amen, church? If we're living according to the lust of the flesh, our flesh is going to be responsible for much of our conversation. And you know what kind of conversation the flesh gives? Well, let me give you some examples. Gossip, evil surmising, backbiting, murmuring, angry conversation, covetous conversation, lying. So every time I speak, I have a hellish spirit that wants to speak through me, and I have a human spirit that more than likely ain't going to say anything much good. But thank God, we have the Holy Spirit that wants to speak through us. And I think one of the best examples I can show you that's in 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, how we get Scripture, how we get the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1. And verse number 21. And I'm giving you these three. I want you to think about this today because, listen, folks, you and I sometimes go through life Because we live in the physical. Please pay attention to this. We live in the physical and we're just concentrated on things we can touch, things we can see, things that we know are there. But do you realize right now, everybody listen to me, do you realize right now, if God were to pull back the curtains to the spirit world, it would frighten us to death what is going on in this room right now. We do not realize, sometimes we think we're just doing things and we're just making choices or whatever. We don't realize who is behind that in our minds and in our hearts many times at the things we're doing and saying. I'm trying to make you aware of that. Many times the devil uses us, and once we find out he's used us, it's too late. But we need to be aware of his devices. He wants to take our tongues and destroy one another. How many of you believe that? Well, at least being aware of it is helpful. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 21. 2 Peter 1:21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God. Listen, they spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. What they were speaking, it says we got the Holy Scripture via the Holy Ghost speaking through his prophets. And I don't know about you, but I can say this for sure. I have absolutely felt the Holy Spirit speaking through me during the course of a message or when I was doing a counseling session, knocking on doors, answering a phone call or a Bible question. And listen, here's the thing, folks. If we walk in the Spirit, we can talk in the Spirit. You hear me? We walk in the Spirit, we can talk in the Spirit. I'm not talking about flopping around on the floor speaking in tongues. I'm talking about saying things that are right, that are holy and edifying and helpful. And so when I say, every time I speak, there's only one or three things that can happen, and two of them's bad, like Bear Bryant said. I need to think about that. Every time I hear somebody talk to me or something happens or something's going on in my life and I get ready to open that big mouth of mine, please, no comments. I said, I get ready to open that big mouth of mine. Listen, it don't matter. It don't matter how sanctimoniously spirit-filled you think you are. Isn't it amazing how you can be in the Spirit and the Lord be all over you in 1 minute, the next minute? Brother, you don't think the Holy Spirit's nowhere around. It's like that man, I hate to tell this illustration, but I'm going to. That man, Dr. Rubin, was talking about that time. He said he stood up and he was in this meeting. This man stood up and he wanted to give a testimony. And he had some kind of speech impediment. And that man stood up the back of the row of the room. And he said, I just want to tell everybody I want to thank the Lord for saving me. And some guy up in the front, some knucklehead said, what did you say? And that guy stood up again. He said, I just want to thank the Lord for everything he's done for me and for saving my soul from me. And that guy said, what did you say? That guy stood up and said, turned around and said, you can go straight to now, he got out of the Spirit in a hurry, didn't he? Amen. Some of you say, I don't know about that. I know about that. I know about that. I've been around more Christians than you, apparently. That's that same Christian that give a testimony to cuss you out. Amen. Amen, brother. If we walk in the Spirit, we'll talk in the Spirit. But when we ain't walking in the Spirit, we're not going to talk in the Spirit. And listen, listen, I don't care how much you were in the Spirit a while ago. It's so easy for something to happen. Listen, I've been doing something before. I've been back there when we were traveling. This has happened a couple of times recently, I remember. I was praying, I could feel the presence of the Lord on me. I was reading my Bible, studying my notes, getting ready for a message. And Darby reached over there to get a drink because I just want to say thank you, God, that my wife's not an alcoholic. Don't drink beer, because if she did, she would be an alcoholic. I've never seen nobody that drinks. She'll have three of those cups. Miss Jenny's made a lot of them for her. She'll have three of those cups full of liquids in a car if we're just going to drive across Dyersburg. I think she's going to not have nothing to drink. And I'm up back there, oh Lord, thank you, and I'm so glad, and I appreciate all you've done for me, and Lord, I just feel your presence. She's swerving on the road trying to grab a drink, run over something, bump my back, and I go, what are you doing? Boy, I'm suddenly back out of the spirit. Can anybody testify? Listen to me this morning. I think that this morning would be a good time just to give some careful consideration our conversation, don't you? I mean, the consideration I'm asking you to take this morning is not about what you said, but who said it. Who do you think? Does somebody use you? Could it be possible that this morning that the devil is using your mouth to accomplish his will? Could it be possible that much of what you say and talk about is an overflow from a heart that is controlled by the flesh? Again, I've got to mention this thing with about your husband and wife. I just got back into town yesterday, and I did a 2-day couples retreat over in Smithfield, Tennessee, about 30-something couples. And I gave a couple of lessons on Friday and a lesson Saturday morning. We had a great meal and breakfast, and we had some games, and it was just couples, and we just really had a good time teaching those couples. And one of the things where we talked about was communication and the breakdown of communication skills among married people. And folks, listen, if there's one thing I can tell you, I've seen that marriages have been damaged, is with that mouth. And I tell you, after years and years of critical, angry, mean-spirited remarks, do you know what happens, fellas? Your wife will check out. I said, after years and years and years of mean-spirited, critical, hateful remarks, your wife will check out. And she may not divorce you, but she'll just be a roommate. And that's what I told them. Women, just nagging and critical and nagging and critical, and he never says anything right, never does anything right. Have you ever stopped to think, lady, that the devil's using your mouth to beat down and destroy your husband? Maybe you ought to. Because he can and he does. Listen, folks, this message ought to be very alarming to all of us to think that someone or something is speaking through me and using me to hurt others and rebel against the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to strive to walk in the Spirit. We need the Lord to rule our mouth, because if He doesn't, then someone else is going to rule our mouth. And when that happens, you know what the result is. Let me read what the result is to you as we get ready to close this morning. The book of James gives you the most scathing remarks about the tongue, doesn't it? So if my flesh is speaking through me most of the time, or a hellish spirit is speaking through me most of the time, this is your result. Here it is. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and setteth on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, this thing ought not so to be. That's an accurate description of a tongue, of a Christian even, that's being controlled by the devil or his flesh. Again, before I close this morning, I want you to remember that every time you open your mouth, there's one of three possibilities of conversation. And one of them's good and the rest ain't. Who said it? I think you and I had better spend some time this morning finding out who said it. And yes, remember this again. The Bible says that out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. My prayer for all of us in here is that the Lord Jesus Christ will touch our heart. And then out of the abundance of our heart, full of Christ, our mouth will speak. But I'm going to tell you something, church, one more time. Listen to me. It deeply disturbs me. It deeply disturbs me to think about the fact that the devil wants to and has and will use my mouth to talk through me. And it ought to disturb you. May God help us and have mercy on us all here today. Every head bowed and eye closed.